Okay, now we have to move because we're late. I'd like to invite Dr. Enzo Castiglioni from Chile. He's here to talk about red eyes and red skin spot.
Thank you all. It's a great pleasure to be among friends. It's a great pleasure to see so many flags on your left that represent all the places where we come from, different places, collaboration between countries, between people, and all this is thanks to Dr. Bournier teaching us, letting us come here, opening doors for our future, for our professional growth. I want to acknowledge two collaborators for this presentation, Dr. Pablo Surquein, a resident of pathology who has come to the lab recently, and Gonzalo Varas, resident of ophthalmology. So this is how the story goes. My senior resident knocks the door of my office to show me this patient, a 38-year-old female, previously healthy, that has a 10-day story of disease consisting of red eyes, mild soreness, red skin spots added 5 days later, and certain discomfort, general discomfort, fatigue, laziness, maybe some fever which was not objective, and no other history of previous disease or medication. This is how her legs looked like. The patient had been admitted the previous day for a systemic workup, and this is how her eyes looked. So if we look at these eyes in more detail, the left eye had a bulky nodular lesion on the temporal margin. Here you see the slit lamp trying to show that there was some volume on this lesion. The rest of the ophthalmic evaluation is what you can see, normal intraocular pressure, normal vision, the episcleral inflammation, both eyes, which was nodular on the left eye, as already seen, and fundoscopy was normal. So this is the clinical picture, healthy woman, 10 days history, and those erythematous lesions in eyes and skin. Whenever we need to face intraocular inflammation or ocular inflammatory disease in general, we must work our differential diagnosis on three alternative possibilities: infectious, non-infectious, and masquerade syndrome. But for me, this was sarcoid. So here we have the imbalance between sarcoidosis being a diagnosis of discard, so only after you have ruled out everything else you can talk about sarcoidosis. But in this particular case, I had the feeling that what else besides sarcoidosis could this be? So just in order to make our brains work, some alternatives were expressed in this slide. So sarcoidosis was our first alternative, but maybe there was a systemic vasculitis going on. Maybe an infection, syphilis could be a candidate, cat scratch disease, maybe not a good candidate, but it's a possibility as well. Could this be a masquerade syndrome? Well, maybe drug-induced, but she didn't remember taking any medication, maybe some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs for the first couple of days. Could that be? Well, what we did, told the resident that we should make a biopsy for two reasons. First, we think about sarcoidosis, so we could prove histologically that this was the case. Second reason, is that the patient was going to be biopsied in her skin lesions that day anyway. So maybe easier than biopsying skin lesion is doing an office procedure. We took a little sample. At this moment, we still didn't know really what was her pulmonary function because the consultation with the respirologist was going to be after our consultation. So we did immediate biopsy, started on topical prednisolone, and completed the request for systemic workup. So we wanted to know everything about this patient. Of course, serology for syphilis, blood sugar, complete cell count. So what happened? We lost sight for a couple of weeks. The patient just kept on in the hands of internal medicine. After 2 weeks on the, under no therapy, just the, our topical steroids, she was presenting the same skin lesions. They had evolved in color. There was some violaceous decoloration. The symptoms had her respiratory symptoms had mild relief with inhalatory therapy. And in the meantime, pulmonary fibroscopy was performed and a biopsy was taken. But 2 weeks after presentation, we already had some results of the first biopsies. So the biopsy of this erythematous skin lesions showed, I should say, nothing. There was some edema, very scarce inflammatory cells. So I don't even show high power magnification for this because it didn't help. So then it was my turn. Let's see what was the ocular pathology. This is what we expected, but this is not what we got. So here the case becomes interesting. This is the real specimen, so I will go quickly through higher power so as to show an inflammatory reaction of a mixed cell type. So we have some polymorphonuclear cells wandering around. We don't have either caseating or non-caseating granulomas. Polymorphonuclear cells. So it's acute and chronic inflammation. What's going wrong? The patients, does she still have a sarcoidosis? Well, at that time, 2 weeks later, we have this pathology, which was not quite fine for us. But the patient developed dry eye. Her Schirmer test was altered, although lacrimal glands were not touchable, were not sensitive, but the dryness was objective. She had a punctate keratitis. She had an altered Schirmer test. She also had a little bit of altered breakup time test. So, questions. Who still thinks this is sarcoidosis? Besides me, of course. Well, 2 weeks later, cool. 2 weeks later, lymph nodes in bronchial fibroscopy went positive. Sealed Nielsen was performed. I didn't bring those slides, but it was negative. So there you have the granulomas. Typical sarcoidosis. So I was very proud of my clinical diagnosis. I was not proud of my pathological specimen. Well, what happened? Granuloma formation is part of the cellular response mechanism mediated by cells. It's very important for human beings to have an efficient granuloma formation in order to control infections like mycobacteria, fungal, parasites, and so on. Part of the immune response is started by a mechanism that it's not restricted to major histocompatibility complex, which is part of the innate immune response, but later the inflammation is increased and perpetuated by T cells, Th1 cell immunity, and this is MHC restricted. So this is a slide just to show which are the substances that play a role in granuloma formation, and this is the time scale of granuloma formation. The first stage, which I already told you about, is MHC independent. It's started by microphages, and it's increased in the accumulation phase by the same cells. But shortly after the initiation process and the resolution of the disease, there are mechanisms that will tend to stop this immune reaction. So sometimes either antigen removal, which means success of the immune response, cellular regulation, that means immune responses have regulatory mechanisms, and tolerance to antigens may allow granulomatous inflammation to stop. Granulomatous inflammation will not occur successfully if we don't have TNF, if we don't have interferon gamma. Interferon gamma is fundamental, and TNF is very important so as to help maturation of the response. HIV patients do not form granulomas when their T cell counts go under 200. But this was still not the explanation to our mistake. Our mistake was in the time scale, because it takes 14 days, it takes 2 weeks in order to have a mature granulomatous reaction, at least 2 weeks. So maybe I was so in a hurry to get the first specimen to make the diagnosis that I just went too early for the biopsy. That's why we had that mixed cellular reaction. And if we hadn't given therapy to the patient and had waited for a week, maybe we would have collected granulomas in the subconjunctiva of this patient. Well, which was the reported yield of positivity for sarcoidosis in conjunctival specimens? I only could find this paper about blind biopsy of conjunctiva made in Asia. It was about 29 patients. And blind biopsy, no clinical granulomas, would yield about one every three patients positive, taking a specimen of 1 × 3 millimeters on each eye. This slide is just to show that many times sarcoidosis is a self-limited disease. Sarcoidosis is very uncommon in children, so we had to learn a lot of sarcoidosis so as to treat this patient. And one of the important things for us to know, it was that most probably this patient wasn't going to do fine after a while. The purpose of the treatment is to avoid sequela during this self-limited phase, and of course to shorten the course of the disease. Well, this patient underwent oral corticosteroids once we had the definite biopsy. After 5 months, steroids could be completely withdrawn, and she has been kept under my observation for almost 2 years now, and there has been sustained remission with no drugs. I want to thank you again. It's been a pleasure, and hope to see you in 2 more years. Any comments, questions?
Wow.
And a comment. First question. Did she have pain or symptoms of upper inflammation?
She had very little pain. She didn't have spontaneous pain.
Did the clinical diagnosis be escleritis, episcleritis, or just red eye?
Well, I should say episcleritis. Right. If I had to. No, they were negative. I have the feeling.
Yeah. CT of the lung, normal or abnormal?
Well, it was abnormal, but it was.
So CT was enough. It did not need the
Well, that was it.
One comment only is about the conjunctival biopsy. I really don't believe. If natural history of sarcoidosis, if you're going to do a biopsy that have a chance to make a diagnosis in the absence of a lesion, then theoretically, not going to do it. Theoretically, you should not pick the conjunctiva. If they lack more gland, lack more gland has much more chance of having a granuloma than conjunctiva. Number two, the superficial granulomas can be so small that you miss them. In the absence of a lesion, I would say don't biopsy the conjunctiva, in my opinion, in a case of sarcoidosis.
Thank you.